Maybe some more trouble by Monday night, but let's take these one at a time. Hey, make sure you get our weather app on your phone or tablet right now. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. Stay on top of all the tropical action. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
For CBS 8 and ABC 32, I'm Jalea Brooks. Another bank robbery in Montgomery Thursday morning, this time the BB&T Bank in the 2900 block of Carter Hill Road. Police say the suspect gave a teller the note, then fled the scene with cash. This is now the third bank robbery in Montgomery with similar circumstances in the last 2 weeks, but police aren't saying whether they are connected. Jackson Hospital in Montgomery is restricting visitors due to high flu activity in Alabama. Officials say signs of the flu have appeared early this year, and if you have flu-like symptoms, you should visit your primary care physician or an urgent care clinic. The latest now on the kidnapping of 3-year-old Camille McKinney, a.k.a. Cupcake. It's been 6 days now since she was abducted from a birthday party in Birmingham, and still not many answers. Two people taken in for questioning were arrested on unrelated charges. One has since been released on bond. The reward for credible information has now grown to $25,000. For CBS 8 and ABC 32, I'm Jalea Brooks.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. And right now, get your first online visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. Sure beats paying for an in-office doctor's appointment, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need to deal with awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe the medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1. WACV. News Talk 93.1.
White House announcing that next year's G7 meeting of world leaders will be held at a Trump resort.
Chicago school is canceled. 25,000 teachers are on strike.
President Trump's acting chief of staff blowing the lid off Trump's claim there was no quid pro quo with Ukraine. Mulvaney said aid money was held up to Ukraine in exchange for investigations.
Vice President Pence announcing that Turkey has suspended its military offensive for 5 days.
Trump's chosen ambassador to the European Union testified under oath, Gordon Sondland, delivering a devastating blow to Trump's defense, saying Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, told him that Ukraine needed to investigate Joe Biden before the newly elected Ukrainian president would get a visit to the White House.
Tributes in Washington and far beyond for one of the most powerful and passionate members of Congress, Elijah Cummings, the Maryland Democrat and civil rights leader who died in Baltimore.
May God bless you all, and may God bless America.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome aboard, everyone. News on 93.1 FM. Dan Morris Show on a Friday. TGIF. Now, that kind of stuff. 62 degrees outside. It was absolutely fabulous last night and this morning. Made my first pot of chili. It was good last night. It was really good for lunch. It is going to be spectacular by tomorrow. And then we get Mr. Producer himself, the one and only Joey Clark.
Hello, hello, hello.
How you doing today, big guy?
I'm doing great.
Stock market is down 178 points. Sounds like you and I had fun.
I had a lot of fun, and I have to say, you know, I told you I was so frustrated with the national press and establishment. When I watched the Trump rally last night, I told you off air, and it kind of made me go, oh, there are some people out there who agree with me. Like the endless war stuff, to see the crowd go wild for that, made me go, okay, good. It's get outside the beltway. People tend to agree with the president.
Yeah, these more institutional folks are very much into, oh, this is the wrong thing. We are going to have Dr. Sorensen own in about 7 minutes or 8 minutes or so. Before we kind of get into that, let's listen to...
Hold on.
Oh, the name game!
We got to do the name game. Allison Murphy. Call 396-5477 within the hour for your chance to win a $1,000 gift card to select stores at Eastdale Mall, $500 to At Home, great store, and $500 to Foot Locker, great place. So, Allison Murphy, call 396-5477. Within the hour, you're the latest name to be drawn in the name game. This is your chance to qualify and to win this amazing prize.
Are you sure you're reading that correct? $1,000 worth of gift certificates?
Yeah, three zeros.
Oh, my goodness. Not 10, not 100, 1,000.
We're not talking about one of those candy bars either, you know, whatever. What were they? A grand or whatever?
Yeah. Man. I forgot about those. Those used to be pretty good. They'd take my teeth away. Right. That caramel on there. I think my parents forbid me from doing that because of the dental bills that are there. 272-9228. First-time callers, and any caller can get in on the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. What's in that gift basket? $6 worth of goodies that you put in there from Sweet Creek Farm Market. If you're a first-time caller, we put your name in twice. We're doing that drawing today. So if you want to get in, well... you better call. Let's listen to CBS talking about the fighting in Syria persists.
New video this morning shows evidence of gunfire and shelling in one Syrian city along the Turkish border just hours after the ceasefire agreement was announced. The Kurds blame Turkey for the violation. Charlie Daggett is in the region and filed this report.
A shaky ceasefire and a shaky deal. Not everybody here is happy about it. And as for the role of the U.S. military, there are some serious questions about exactly how the terms of that ceasefire will be implemented. Turkish attacks continued on the border today, breaking the so-called pause in hostilities. 120 hours, 5 days for the U.S. to facilitate the reason Turkey went to war in the first place, the removal of Kurdish forces from a 20-mile-deep safe zone along the Turkish border. But Pentagon officials tell CBS News so far they've received no direction as to how to remove those forces, and there's no change to America's own withdrawal plan. Still, at a rally in Dallas, President Trump painted himself as a kind of playground peacekeeper.
It was unconventional what I did. I said, they're going to have to fight a little while. Sometimes you have to let them fight a little while. It's like two kids in a lot. You got to let them fight, and then you pull them apart.
You know, I'm a pretty smart guy, but I'm going to have to say this is one where we definitely need Dr. Sorensen to kind of get all the different moving parts of this whole thing.
Yes.
Because it is complicated. I mean, I spent a while... just studying this and picking up news clips and things like that, but man, it'd be interesting to see what he has to say. Let's play the second part of the story.
But it's far from child's play for the hundreds of people killed and almost 200,000 displaced by the fighting. And Turkish forces have been accused by a chemical weapons expert of using what looks like white phosphorus against Kurdish civilians banned by chemical weapons conventions. The U.S. has declared a ceasefire to a war they weren't even fighting and enabled Turkey to achieve its primary objective, which has enraged U.S. lawmakers on both sides of the aisle.
The decision to abandon the Kurds violates one of our most sacred duties. It strikes at American honor. What we have done to the Kurds will stand as a blood stain in the annals of American history.
Now, it may be telling that Turkey is calling this more of a pause than a ceasefire. Why 5 days? That's exactly the time that Turkish President Erdogan is due to meet with the real power broker in this region, President Vladimir Putin in Russia.
The real power broker.
Mm-hmm.
The real power broker, Vladimir Putin. Man, they'll take any length to kind of just smack them around out here. Let me hit one piece. Representative McCall talks about Turkey and Syria, and do the second clip. There we go. And let's listen to him before we go to break.
Let me ask you a little bit about the Turkey and Syria situation, because obviously there are a lot of people in your party who do not like the way that this was handled. The president came out today after a 120-hour ceasefire was announced after discussions with President Erdogan of Turkey and Vice President Pence and Secretary of State Pompeo. And here's what the president said.
It's a great day for the United States. It's a great day for Turkey. Great day for the Kurds. It's really a great day for civilization. It's a great day for civilization. So I just want to thank everybody.
How did you vote on that resolution? Were you in favor of the president's actions with regard to, backing out of that buffer zone? And do you agree with what he said there, Congressman McCaul?
Well, I agree with what he... I just got a phone call from the vice president updating me on the ceasefire negotiations. I commend the vice president and Secretary Pompeo and the president for ending this bloodshed. I have my concerns about withdrawal from Syria, particularly as it pertains to protecting the homeland. I think when I was at the White House meeting yesterday that's been so publicized, and I think after the speaker left, we got down, the Democrats stayed in the room. We had a very civil, very substantive conversation. My number one position was that, look, after we pulled out of Iraq, as you know, Martha, 10,000 troops and ISIS reared its ugly head and the caliphate was formed. I didn't want to see the same thing happen in Syria. I got assurances from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to the Secretary of Defense, to the President of the United States, that we are not completely withdrawing from Syria, that we will have a residual force to protect the homeland. And I commend the vice president on the negotiations, a five-day ceasefire, after which there'll be a permanent ceasefire in place. Let's hope that works.
We hope. I mean,
In the meantime, I have a sanctions bill that I've introduced with Chairman Elliot Engel, and I know the Senate, our counterparts, have introduced the bill as well. If it fails, our sanctions will go forward.
News 93.1 FM, Dr. David Sorensen. We're going to go to an early break here, so we can bring him in. We'll be right back.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
Not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Let's go right to the one. Whenever we have a situation in the Middle East we want a better understanding of, we call on our good friend, Dr. David Sorensen, Middle East expert and Air War College, Maxwell Air Force Base. Dr. Sorensen, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Thank you for having me, Dan.
Okay. This is one of those we really need you on this one. This, the complexity of this is unbelievable. First of all, the people that are... We had a ceasefire, and then we're having shots being fired. Who are the people that are currently fighting now with the Kurds? Is that the Syrian army, Syrian free forces, or is that Turkey?
It's a good question. I've looked at the map, and everything that I see tells me that it's Turkey. First of all, Turkey has artillery, and the firing has involved artillery firing as much as anything else. So it appears that Turkey continues to fight in at least three or four different places. particularly in a little place called Ras Alan, which is right on the Turkish-Syrian border. Fighting continues, and I suspect that the Kurds are fighting back, but the ceasefire, if it's holding at all, it is barely holding.
Should we trust Erdogan? Should we trust him?
No. Erdogan is doing this for a couple of reasons. It has a lot to do with his own domestic political situation. He's losing popularity for all kinds of reasons in Turkey. And this is a way for him to try to bolster up his popularity, because Turks disagree on a lot of things, but most Turks agree that the Kurdish groups inside of Turkey are an existential threat to Turkey. And they believe, furthermore, that they get support from the Kurds in Syria. So there appears to have been widespread Turkish support for Erdogan's decision to send his troops into northern Syria. But the bottom line is that, to your question, it's a great question. Erdogan has promised more democracy, and instead Turkey has had less democracy. He's promised economic development, but Turkey is now bordering on a serious recession. He's spent lots and lots of money to further his own interest and reward his small coterie of friends. Corruption is up. So in many ways, no, Erdogan does not keep his word, and I suspect he's doing this only to get President Trump to withdraw the sanctions, which he has succeeded in doing. The sanctions are now off.
Do this for me. Explain to me what the ceasefire is. It's basically 5 days, but what are the Kurds going back to Iraq? Is that where they're going?
No, it's hard to know where the Kurds are going, because this is really between Turkey and Syria, much more than it is Iraq. And the problem is that the Kurds have been living in this region, in some cases, for centuries. This is kind of the traditional Kurdish part. They have nowhere to go. If they go south, they get into Syria, and the Syrians don't want them. And my sense is that the more who try to flee, and we don't know how many people actually live there, because some of them are refugees and they're unregistered, but tens of thousands of Kurds are in this area. And as they try to leave, they can't go into Turkey because the Turks have been shooting them.
Right.
It's very hard for them to go into Syria because the Syrian military will start shooting them. So in many ways, they're stranded. A lot of these folks are civilians. They're really caught between the Kurdish Syrian Democratic Forces and the Turkish military, but also the Syrian military. So in a sense, they're in an utterly impossible position. The hope that the United States had was the presence of 1,000, 1,500 troops right on that border would keep Turkey out and allow the Kurds to keep doing what they've done best, which is fighting against ISIS. But that's all pretty much out of the window now.
So where do they go?
Well, they've been moving around within this zone. We see lots of trucks and in some cases people just walking, carrying all they have, because that's the only way they can move. My sense is right now they're trying to avoid the worst fighting. Now, President Trump has said that the ceasefire will save lives, but again, it's only 5 days, and Turkey has a long way to go. So my sense is that now that the sanctions are off at the end of these 5 days, which will be, 4 days from now, Turkey will continue the offensive, and more and more Kurds are going to get caught in the middle. They're really, in many ways, they're simply trapped, and it's a tragic situation for these civilians because, again, these have been supportive of the United States.
What is happening with these prisoners, these ISIS fighters, and then I understand there's two groups, the fighters and then there are ISIS families that are there. What's happening to them now?
We don't have good information. We have indirect information that at least some of them have escaped. I've seen one report that says hundreds of them has escaped. It does take a lot of ISIS people to cause a lot of damage. You're right. They had one prison filled with ISIS male fighters, another prison filled with women and their families. There are some stories that suggest that the prison with women is actually the more dangerous, that the ISIS women have been attacking those who tried to get out of ISIS in the prison. There have been murders, there have been beatings, and the women, the ISIS fighters, are actually trying to recruit those who are not members of ISIS. So when they get out, these are people who have been unrehabilitated at all. They're just as dangerous as when they were captured. And as they get into Syria, they're going to cause a whole lot of problems. Same thing with the male fighters. Again, ISIS, we don't know how many people they had at their peak, maybe 30,000. I've seen numbers as high as 80,000. It's very hard to say, but it doesn't take a lot of ISIS fighters to go in and start recruiting and go back to doing what they did in 2014. So this is bad news, really, for everybody except for the radical ISIS. Al-Qaeda is also taking root. Al-Qaeda and ISIS don't like each other, but there are also Al-Qaeda elements in this particular area, and they are using Syria also as a base. So as Syria continues to be devastated by the civil war, both ISIS and Al-Qaeda are taking advantage of the fact that they're getting out of jail.
Well, but if they go into Syria, then ISIS fighters and ISIS families are the arch enemy of the Assad administration. So when the Syrians try to kill them?
They will. The Syrian army will try very hard to kill them. The Iranian and Hezbollah forces that are still in Syria will try to kill them. What I think it's going to mean is a lot more casualties, a lot more violence, a lot more Syrians who will be forced to flee the country. Already half of Syria's population has been dislocated. They're no longer living where they once lived. Now, many of them, of course, have fled the country, but there are a lot of them who are just moving around, desperately trying to avoid the fighting. And as ISIS rekindles and the Syrian army continues to fight them, it's going to mean just simply more and more casualties and more refugees.
The media made a big point that we came back in with fighters and destroyed some armament depots. But that's kind of a standard. I mean, we're not going to leave military assets there for somebody to go exploit. Isn't that correct?
Right. There were apparently a couple of attacks on arsenals. Our arsenals are not ISIS strength. I mean, these guys, yes, they're deadly when they're armed, but the real danger is they're recruiting, they're killing people by hand. Again, they still behead people with knives. So going in and attacking an arsenal is really, it's okay, but it doesn't really get to the source of ISIS's power, which is, again, the toxic ideas that they try to propagate.
In looking at this, if I read it right, they were talking about, Erdogan was talking about giving up your weapons. And as soon as they do that, aren't they just going to go in for a wholesale murder?
If they do, and that's exactly right, they're going to be attacked by both the Syrian military and the Turkish military. My sense is that if they do give up their weapons, which I don't think they'll do, they'll simply be captured or they'll be forced to surrender. And if they surrender, then they're going to be moved against their will to some place where they're not welcome. So I think that the Syrian Democratic Forces, the Kurdish militia that is now under attack, I don't think they have any choice but to keep on fighting because, again, the options for them are extremely dire.
Why is that not an option?
Well, here's the problem. There are Kurds and there are Kurds. And the Kurds in northern Syria are Syrian Kurds. They come from different families than the Iraqi Kurds. They have a different motive. The Iraqi Kurds have settled into the northern part of Iraq. They've done some tremendous economic development. They've modernized the country. They're in many ways changing the laws. They've really built a very modern Iraq, but they're Iraqi Kurds. Again, the family structures go back to the 1300s. If Syrian Kurds come in, they can sometimes be seen not only as rivals, but as magnets for the Turks to attack them once they come in. Turkey has been attacking in Iraq as well as in Syria. They've been doing this for years. And I think the Iraqi Kurds would not welcome an incursion of Syrian Kurds, again, because different families, different ethnicity. The language is actually somewhat different between the Iraqi Kurds, the Syrian Kurds, even the Turkish Kurds. So the problem is that the Kurds are divided among themselves, and these the Kurds in northern Syria have, again, they've been living there, in some cases, for centuries. It's the only home they've known. And so I think that it would be very difficult for them. To get to Iraq, they'd have to go with a very narrow corridor between Syria and Iraq, where the Kurds live. Otherwise, they're going to have to go through some of the Syrian-controlled areas. And if they try to do that, my sense is the Syrians and the Turks will continue to attack them. So they don't really have a lot of really good options. And again, I think if they try to get into Iraq, the Iraqi Kurds will not welcome them. Certainly the Iraqi Arab government would not welcome them. So I think they're, in many ways, they're just simply caught in a terrible situation right now.
Let's go to Turkey. We have two Air Force bases there?
We have one big one. We have actually several. Some we talk about, some we don't. The big base is in Incirlik. It looks like Incirlik, but it's spelled Incirlik with a J. That's our big base. We've been there since the 50s. We have lots of capability there. We have some stuff that we don't really talk about. But if the situation gets worse between the United States and Turkey, it is certainly possible that Turkey can demand that the U.S. leave. I think it's in Turkey's interest now not to push that particular option, but that's, in a sense, Turkey is kind of holding the United States hostage there. And they understand that if the United States pushes Turkey too far, then Turkey can simply demand that U.S. forces leave Incirlik, and that would be a loss for the United States.
What nuclear capabilities do we have within Turkey, U.S. nuclear capabilities?
Well, that's sensitive. let's just say that we have a nuclear capacity. It's sensitive.
Okay. I appreciate that. Tell me on the economy of Turkey. Is he in trouble because of the economy also and the people not being happy, Erdogan?
He is. He has made us. He started off modernizing the economy. Turkey underwent many years of growing prosperity under Erdogan. When he really tried to manage the economy, he encouraged foreign investment. He encouraged modernization. Education system got a whole lot better. Several years ago, he began to Islamicize the economy. And that has had severe consequences. Erdogan believes that high interest rates cause inflation, and so he's pushed with the interest rates way down, and at that point, you know, nobody wants to borrow. Nobody wants to loan.
Right.
He has also engaged in a lot of state money on massive projects. There's a new bridge over the Bosphorus, and this is billions of dollars. There's a tunnel under the Bosphorus. There's brand new airports, which are state of the art. I've been there. Lots and lots of new building. But a lot of this is coming from borrowed state money, and a lot of it is done to bring in Erdogan's conservative Islamist supporters from rural Turkey to bring them into Istanbul and Ankara to get him more votes. The corruption has also gotten way out of hand, and many, many Turks are unhappy about that. The best evidence is that when there was an election for the mayor in Istanbul, which is a very important position because it's where Erdogan came from, Erdogan tried to block the election when the opposition candidate won. And as a result, the Turks ultimately had another election in Istanbul, and the candidate got 54% of the vote. I mean, it was a humiliating victory for the Erdogan's opposition, and it deeply embarrassed him. And so my sense is that he is carrying out this operation in northern Syria partly for political reasons, because, again, the Turks are unhappy with the economy. Inflation has gotten very high. And some of the sanctions that have been imposed not only by the U.S. but by the European Union are beginning to bite. And so I think this is an offset. It's wagged the tail to try to get attention away from the economy and try to mobilize some pride in the Syrian military. Well, think about the Syrian military. It has been gutted of its professional soldiers. Turkey once had a very professional, well-trained military, but after the failed coup in July 2016, thousands of senior officers were jailed or simply thrown out of the military on suspicion that they were disloyal. And Erdogan replaced those officers with people who were more loyal than competent. And so it may also be that this ceasefire is a sense to see actually how did the Turkish military perform in northern Syria, because there have been reports that there have been some mistakes and some not particularly good generalship.
Would you feel safe going to Turkey right now?
I would. In fact, I'm actually planning on going. But again, I just stood on the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea, and last March I was on the Lebanese Israeli border. So I'm used to places where people shoot at you. But
or West Montgomery.
My sense of safety may not be a good indicator. But yeah, I'm planning on going to Turkey soon, and so far I've not been told you can't come. I suspect I'll get tongue lashed by Syrian or by Turkish officials. Excuse me, I've had that happen before. They blame me for the difficulties between U.S. and Turkey, and that's fine. They can yell at me. But
Conversino model there, where the Russians were mad at him.
Yes, they were. Well, in fact, they detained him.
I know, they held him.
Yes, they did. And it could happen to me. I've been detained before by, governments that disagreed with our position. But it's all part of the learning. It could be something to write about, and you've got to check your cell phone while they're asking you questions. So, no, I'm not concerned about going to Turkey, or, in fact, I've been to most of these places most of the time. But I think, again, what I expect is that when we do go to Turkey, we're going to hear a lot of unhappiness about American policy towards Turkey. We have withdrawn participation by Turkey in the F-35 fighter program, which was a gold-plated deal, and Turkey had a big role in it. And I know the Turkish Air Force is very unhappy that U.S. withdrew Turkish participation. But again, that was because Turkey decided to buy a Russian air defense system that would have compromised the F-35. So I think that was the right decision. But again, Turkey's unhappy about it. And there are a number of other things that the Turks are just ill at ease with the U.S. about. But, I think the alliance is still there, and I think the alliance will survive.
Even if fighting continues and we start really hitting the sanctions hard on Turkey?
Yeah, I think that I think there'll be some more symbolic things. Turkey said that if we continued with the sanctions, they will impose sanctions on us. That doesn't really
do anything to us.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot we buy from Turkey, but a lot of this is symbolic. And it's a way to try to save face without really harming the overall alliance. I think Turkey understands, and I think we understand, that the real beneficiary of breaking the NATO alliance is Putin. And I think everybody in the region is looking at Putin and saying, this is a guy who has attacked Georgia, this is a guy who has attacked Ukraine, this is a guy who has threatened all the countries from the Baltics all the way down to Turkey. And Russia and Turkey are historically geographic rivals. There have been many, many wars between the Russians and the Turks because they clash up into the Black Sea. And so I think that in all of the noise and furor about this, and it is serious, I think both the U.S. and Turkey understand that if the NATO alliance is ruptured, or if Turkey demands that the U.S. leave its base at Incirlik and elsewhere, the only beneficiary will be Russia. And I think neither the United States or Turkey really want that to happen.
One last question on the Kurds. Did the Kurds create their own currency for them to operate under? And if they're picking up and leaving, what are they picking up and leaving with financially?
Almost nothing. The Kurdish economy in Iraq is very stable and solid. They are using actually Iraqi currency. But in northern Syria, they have been, it's been a lot of barter, because the Syrian currency is essentially worthless. And so they've worked out deals. What they don't really have is a financial system, because that, again, they before the war started, they relied mostly on Syria. And the Syrians kind of let them use it because they, you know, they benefited from it. But right now, as they leave, they've got almost nothing. There's no banking system. There's very little financial support in that region. So when they leave, they're going to leave with nothing. And what that's going to mean is that somebody is going to have to support them wherever they go for a very long time. Now, the Kurds are industrious people. They're creative people. But given everything that's happened to them, I think that this is going to doom them to long-run poverty and dependence on somebody, European Union or somebody, to try to help them out. Problem is, the Kurds have very few natural friends. They live in four different countries, and in each one of those countries, the majority population agrees on one thing. We don't want a Kurdistan. We don't really like or trust the Kurds. Which is tragic, because in many ways the Kurds have been promised home since the 19th century. They've been let down before, including by the United States, and they will continue to be kind of a minority, marginalized population. But in many ways, they're not radical. In many ways, they're modern. They believe in capitalism. They empower women. They have women troops leading the fight. Women are treated equally in the Kurdish areas. And again, you see that in northern Iraq. So to me, this is a real tragedy for the Syrian Kurds, because again, they've been faithful to the United States. They were extraordinarily good in defeating ISIS. That's why they have all those ISIS prisoners. These are people the Kurds captured. We did give them close air support. We did support them. We did train them. We did our part. But they did the fighting. And thousands of them died defeating ISIS, and here they are essentially abandoned.
Dr. Sorensen, I really appreciate you calling in today. You have been a wealth of knowledge.
Well, I appreciate you having me, Dan, and thanks for covering. This is a very significant issue for the United States.
I do not see how this ends well.
Yes.
Dr. Sorensen, thank you again so very much.
My pleasure, Dan.
News Talk 93.1, Dan Moore Show, we'll be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show. Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hi, folks. This is Rick Clark with Clark Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. I'd like to take just a minute to talk to you about our experience with Blue Water Broadcasting. One of the hot topics in our staff meetings is spending advertising dollars. If your company or firm is anything like Clark Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, those dollars are limited, so you have to spend them wisely. That's why we choose Blue Water Broadcasting. Our marketing analysis has proven consistently that spending advertising dollars with Blue Water Broadcasting has contributed significantly to our bottom line. And for that, Clark Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing is truly grateful. So, if you want to spend your advertising dollars wisely, choose Blue Water Broadcasting and see the difference.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump on Twitter says he just spoke to Turkey's President Erdogan and that fighting with Kurds in northern Syria, we've been reporting today, was just minor sniper and mortar fire. A five-day ceasefire or pause in the fighting with Kurds was announced yesterday.
Erdogan is a difficult partner at times.
Texas Congressman Mike McCaul on Fox News Channel. He's the top Republican on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. A confessed killer is charged with a second murder in Alaska.
48-year-old Brian Smith admits to police in Anchorage that he is the man seen assaulting and strangling a woman on a digital memory card that was apparently found in a street. 30-year-old Kathleen Henry's body was found October 2nd along the Seward Highway. And police now say Smith has also admitted to the murder of another woman, 53-year-old Veronica Abouchuk, whose remains were found along another Alaska highway this spring.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. America's listening to Fox News.
Thomas Weather, brought to you by Caravita Village, where they lead the way in senior living. Cruise into retirement. Schedule a tour at caravitavillage.com today.
Rich Thomas Weather.
It doesn't have a name yet. It's still called Potential Tropical Cyclone 16, but it is getting stronger, and it's aiming for the Northern Gulf Coast. Tropical storm warnings on the coast. Today we're dry, cloudy, comfortable, high 71. Tonight, showers likely by the wee hours of the morning as that tropical system comes ashore. Through the morning and midday hours, I think ending during the afternoon. Wind gust as high as 25 miles per hour, maybe a little higher. Our low tonight, 59. High tomorrow, 71. Sunday's a nice day. Lots of sun, high around 80. Maybe some more trouble by Monday night, but let's take these one at a time. Hey, make sure you get our weather app on your phone or tablet right now. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. Stay on top of all the tropical action. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
When you're shopping for a new car, truck, or SUV, getting a great rate shouldn't be a problem. ASE Credit Union makes auto loans easy with rates as low as 3.5% APR. Apply online or visit your local branch today. ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
To Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
I want to thank Dr. David Sorensen for calling in. Tried to get us to see this a little clearer because, I tell you, the media is just like all over the place. I mean, you get all sorts of numbers that are out there. How many people were moving? Dr. Sorensen used 1,500. You know, I think we have 1,500 total in Syria. Of that, you have 200 that are down in near Lebanon to try to stop the migration of arms there, and then you have another 1,000 that are synced in the not far from Damascus, and then you had the forward deployment group that was now I kind of understand they were swapping out with the mid group of people where they would send in folks and change them out so there wouldn't be special ops there, you know, working all the time, bringing in fresh legs, as they would say. Molly Hemingway had a very good point talking about the pullout during the Obama administration, that they were against the pullout. There were, you know, by troops now, but what were they talking about during Obama's administration?
Democrats railing against President Trump's decision to pull troops from northern Syria, but it wasn't too long ago that those same Democrats were praising Obama's decision to pull out troops from Iraq in 2011. So why the shifting stance? And do they think we weren't taping it? Here to weigh in is senior editor at the Federal, Molly Hemingway. I was talking about the fact that people don't think, since these people never leave their jobs, we don't remember who was against the surge. We don't remember who called the ISIS JV team, who pulled our troops out of Iraq entirely despite other advice. Why have we forgotten that?
Well, I think if there weren't double standards, there would be no standards at all for a lot of people. But I actually think that that thinking back about the history of this really speaks to how difficult it is for presidents to not be interventionists in the area. President Obama had a lot of electoral success, as did other Democrats, by opposing the way in which we were fighting the Iraq war. People were largely supportive of going in there, but they did not like the way that we were fighting or how it turned into a nation-building exercise. So he removes troops from Iraq. He says 16 times, I will not put boots on the ground in Syria. The American people largely did not support the idea of putting boots on the ground in Syria. President Obama asked Congress, if you want this so much, pass a law saying that you authorize this use of military force. Didn't even come close to passing, even though Harry Reid introduced it. And yet here we are, many years later, having to remove troops from Syria because he did end up getting pressured into doing just that. And President Trump said he opposed an intervention in Syria, and look how hard it has been for him to pull our troops back.
Yeah, really, again, it's, if somebody wants to do something, go get Congress to go declare war on it. I just, this concept of 535 secretaries of state just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, and it's very frustrating from this point of view, too, and it's a pattern with all the last, you know, recent past three presidents, we could say, is Congress likes to act like sort of backbenchers, where if it goes well, they take credit. Yeah, I was talking with the administration. Great job, guys. And if something goes wrong, they criticize. And they never actually have to put their butt on the line. Last time we actually even voted was, I guess, Iraq. And that, of course, didn't go very well.
You said that so kindly. Molly Hemingway is going to be kind of talking about what should happen, and what she's actually doing is she's talking about the Trump war doctrine.
The bottom line is, if you're a good leader, you react to things in reality and don't worry about politics. Let politics take care of itself. President Obama, remember this, a few years ago, when he promised what he promised in Syria not to do.
In no event are we considering any kind of military action that would involve boots on the ground.
We would not put boots on the ground.
It does not involve boots on the ground.
I will not put American boots on the ground in Syria.
The resolution we've submitted today does not call for the deployment of U.S. ground combat forces to Iraq or Syria.
So how does that happen? We end up with forces in Syria, never got authorization. The president amps it up, wipes out the caliphate, and now all the same people that are upset that we're leaving, and I'm one of them. I think we're left in a terrible situation without any plan. But those people are now look like war hawks. How could we leave the Kurds? Here's an example. Maxine Waters, she comes out in 2011, says, as the war in Iraq draws to a close, it is my hope that this conflict will serve as a solemn reminder of the cost of war. We must be carefully reexamine how we view the United States' role in promoting international peace. And then in 2019, if the United States abandons the Kurds, these courageous allies will never trust us again. Trump's portrayal of the Kurds as a gift to Russia, Iran, and ISIS. Then what was it before?
Well, there's a lot of consistency in Washington, D.C. about the idea that if there is a conflict going on in the region, in the Middle East, the U.S. has to be involved. And that has been pushed, even though American people don't support such an idea. Again, they were willing to go into Iraq, but they believe that American wars should be fought in our interest and that we should have a clear path to entry and exit. And so this is the problem that happens when you don't have Congress authorizing the use of military force, when you don't have people weighing in and having debates, but you just have people pressuring to intervene. It again shows the difficulty. Once you get involved, it seems almost impossible to extricate yourselves. But the American people, I think, have been clear really for a long time now that they want to have a better way of fighting wars, prioritizing where we're involved and making sure that we have a clear way out as well.
Joey, you commented on Donald Trump's speech last night about when he was talking about the end of an end to endless wars, that how the audience responds to it. Do you see a big difference in the way Washington, D.C. is looking at this and the way that the nation's looking at this?
Absolutely. I think, and I read recently, if you look at polling of veterans, there's a lot of veterans, let's say, like Dan Crenshaw.
Yeah, and Donald Trump pointed that out last night.
Right. Like, for instance, there's folks like Dan Crenshaw, you know, the guy with the eye patch. He wants us to be more involved. But then you get folks like Tulsi Gabbard, and the breakdown usually, and of course polls change, but the breakdown's usually been 60-40 against more war from veterans. And I think just the whole mood of the nation, this is a weird analogy. It's almost like that gas tax we passed here. It's not so much of exactly what you're doing. It's just that we don't feel like you're being honest in even the pretext you're giving us or the reasons you're giving us. It always seems like in the case of Syria, at first it's take out ISIS. Now it's mission creep to take out Assad. And then mission creep, we must stay by the Kurds forever and ever. And it's like, wait, you didn't even lay this out to begin with. Whereas, you know, you had clear goals and the wars, you know, going on 70, 80 years ago, you know, kill the Nazis. It's a pretty straightforward goal in many ways.
News 7-8 is a declaration of war that did that, too.
Right, and the Japanese.
After they declared war on us. News 7-8-3.1, Dan Moore Show will be back right after this.
Dan Morris Show.
Girl, you really got me now. You got me, so I don't know what I'm doing. Girl,
the biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
If you have a pool, you know about needing help with it from time to time. I have found that company for you, Fagan Pool Service. They're a Regal Chemical dealer. They've been in business over 40 years. Regal Chemicals are the very top of the line. This is family-owned, father-son duo. They handle all repairs such as pool liners, pumps, motors, filters, salt generators, leak detection, you name it. American run by two veterans, so you can trust they know the importance of hard work, dedication, and integrity.
Has your pool lost its fun? We keep you in the swim of things. Call 201-1819, 201-1819, Fagan Pool Service.
If you have a name, then you have a chance to win one of five great prizes.
Play the name game with Blue Water Broadcasting, and you could win a $1,000 gift card at select stores from Eastdale Mall.
Winning is easy. Register online at our station website. We'll call out names all week long. Play the name game and win incredible prizes.
From Eastdale Mall and Blue Water Broadcasting.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
You know I'm a dreamer.
272-9228, that's where we are. You feel comfortable enough going straight to that, or do you think we need to audition it?
I think this is a round where he's answering questions, absolutely.
This is Trump in the Roosevelt room.
He doesn't have immunity when he puts it on his Twitter, which he did, and he doesn't have immunity when he speaks to press, which he did, and he certainly won't have immunity if we ever get him into Congress and can swear him under oath. Because what he did was a very bad thing. But what just happened is Ambassador Kent, who I have never had the privilege...
Yeah, it sounds like here he's talking about Schiff.
They brought him in as a witness against me, even though I don't know him. And he excoriated, from what they reported on the news, and of course maybe in this case it won't be fake news, but he excoriated the Obama administration and Joe Biden and Joe Biden's son, saying that he has tremendous problems, with Joe Biden's son and the Ukraine. So he's got tremendous problems with Biden's son and Ukraine, and it's inappropriate, and all of the horrible things. I mean, you could get it, you could see it. It's been a big deal. And I heard Schiff is going, no, we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about that. But he talked about it, and it's one of those things. Look, this is a terrible witch hunt. This is so bad for our country. I just spoke to President Erdogan of Turkey.
Here we go.
We're doing very, very well with Turkey. There's a ceasefire or a pause or whatever you want to call it. There was some sniper fire this morning. There was mortar fire this morning that was eliminated quickly. And they're back to the full pause. We have ISIS totally under guard. Turkey is also guarding separately. They're watching over everything. So you have the Kurds who we're dealing with and are very happy about the way things are going, I must say. The Kurds, you also have the Turks watching, just secondarily watching. So we have ISIS under control. We've taken control of the oil in the Middle East, the oil that we're talking about, the oil that everybody was worried about. We have the U.S. has control of that, and there are no shots being fired, and a lot of people are doing a lot of things. This is a deal that should have been made 15 years ago, 10 years ago. Over the last number of years under the Obama administration, the real number is over 1 million people were killed. We have lost not a drop of blood since we've started what I've started. And it was, so far it's working out. Look, it's a complicated region. Many, many people have gone down. I have to watch in great interest as I see people talking about what we should be doing, and these are the same people that have been failing for the last 20 years, didn't know what they were doing, especially when they went in and did what they did. They shouldn't have been there. But we're doing a very, very significant amount of great work. We'll see if it works. It's very fragile. It's been fragile for years. They've been fighting each other for centuries. Literally for centuries they've been fighting each other. And years ago we injected ourselves right into the middle of it. And we won't go into whether or not that was a good thing or a bad thing. You know how I feel about it. but we've had tremendous success, I think, over the last couple of days. A little bit unconventional, a little bit of hard love, I told you that. There was a lot of pain for a couple of days. And sometimes you have to go through some pain before you can get a good solution. But the Kurds are very happy about it. President Erdogan in Turkey is satisfied with it. And we are in a very strong position. We are also in a position where we can put tremendous, powerful sanctions on Turkey or whoever else we want to. Our country is a financially much stronger country than when I took it over. China would have been right now the strongest economy in the world, the number one economy in the world. And right now, China is way behind us. We picked up trillions of dollars in value, in worth, and they've lost trillions and trillions of dollars, and they're having the worst year they've had in 57 years. With that being said, we're working with China very well. We've done, subject to getting it signed, and I think it will get signed quite easily, hopefully by the summit in Chile, where President Xi and I will both be. But a lot of good things are happening. Our farmers are taken care of. Our bankers and our financial services are going to have access, the likes of which they've never had, to the largest or second largest, depending on your definitions, about 1.4 billion people population, whether it's India or China. They're pretty close. And we've done some great things. So we had, but I just want to say, I want to thank the people of Dallas and the people of Fort Worth and the people of Texas, because yesterday was incredible. I want to thank Bernard Arnault, one of the great businessmen of the world, for agreeing to do something that was a first. He's built this incredible plant right in our great state of Texas, and they're going to make super luxury and super product. They have already started. It's opened. A big investment, and we're very proud of it. That was done with me and with the election, with even prior to the election. I said, you have to open up a plant someplace in the United States. He said, what do you think about Texas? I said, I love Texas. That would be good. And I said, if you do it, I'll be there. And so I fulfilled that commitment, but he opened up a beautiful plant. We think over 1,000 people will soon be working there. So thank you all very much. Yesterday was a big day. We had a great talk with President Erdogan, and it's going very well. Thank you very much.
Okay, so how quickly will the media be playing on the Kurds are happy?
Right, it makes me wonder, because I think the general's name Mazum or something like that, the Kurdish general. I'd want to see what he has been saying lately.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is the media's going to run to him and say, are you happy?
Mm-hmm.
And then use that, throw that back on Trump. News Talk 93.1. Dan Moore Show headed to the top of the hour break. We're going to be right back.
The Dan Moore Show.